Nina, and thank you also to Benjam and to Noor. And before I hand back to the chair for the forum, I would just like to make some brief remarks myself. First of all, I'm very reminded by this afternoon's discussion of the sort of space that this forum attempts to create, and the reality that that space can be an uncomfortable one depending on which perspective we come from within it. So I want to again congratulate all who have been involved, and in particular the Special Rapporteur, because I think it is a very useful space. It's not a very comfortable space sometimes, but it is a very useful space. And I was particularly reminded this afternoon also that we're talking about real women and real children who come from real groups. A lot of you named the groups that they came from, come from real groups. This is really important for me. And also the way in which we dealt with the, a number of you spoke to, the intersectional and the intergeneral dimensions of the issues that we are discussing when we're talking about statelessness for women and children. But the I think we a little bit touched, and Nina particularly spoke about it, the structural underpinnings involved. And those structural underpinnings, in effect, directly have to be addressed to the duty bearers, to the states, who must lead on this one. Because otherwise, for example, as Noor pointed out, the gender discrimination, which is very deep-rooted in male power, will get in the way of rights-based nationality legislation, which has implications for women, but also has very, very direct implications for children. I'm also struck by the extent to which we need to go beyond the presenting issues, which a number of you articulated very clearly and very well, to the hidden discriminations. And here Benjam spoke to a number of them, the hidden discriminations for women and children involved in statelessness and the way in which that is perpetuated. And then to return to that concern about 2024 and to start it right here and right now. It seems to me that there are instruments that states have already ratified and signed up to. Of course, CERD, with which I'm very familiar. Of course, CEDAW, and of course, CRC. These instruments provide a basis on which some of the very fundamental discriminations that are blocks to statelessness for women and for children can be addressed. Racial discrimination, in my view, and its intersectionality with the oppression of women and the oppression of children as a result of statelessness is a key one to address. And I was delighted to be able to observe some of the Iraqi review during yesterday and today at the Committee for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. I'm conscious also, though, that to do this and to move things forward, disaggregated data collected in line with human rights provisions, as indeed are very well articulated in that little booklet from the Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights, disaggregated data is essential and it needs to be used in ways that are in line with human rights. And a number of people spoke to conditions. I was struck by something that I think it was Benjam said, that there's no point in documents to get legal aid. It wasn't him, actually. No point in documents to get legal aid needed to get the documents that you need to get the documents to get the legal aid. So I'm very clear, and I'm conscious of this from my own work with Roma and Travellers, that conditions to address statelessness need to be developed in a way that makes sense for the people that are stateless and that they don't in themselves become barriers to actually doing something about statelessness. And just to finalise then, could I say, I'm also reminded that people who are stateless, women and children who have stateless, do have rights right now. And those rights need to be articulated and those rights need to be validated and vindicated as women and as children. And finally, can I just say, a fundamental right there is the right to voice. And while I have been very glad through the afternoon to hear voices of many colleagues in the room, many of them very old friends, I'm glad that this panel reflects maybe a majority of women for once. I'm sorry that the children who are represented, as I said, sometimes as many adults, aren't significantly present here. But I have seen one and I'm delighted to see him. But can I say that I'm particularly sorry that during the afternoon there were not more voices of women. I want to commend the voices of women and in particular the voices of women from minorities. But I do very much feel sorry. And I encourage all of you, my brothers, who spoke so clearly and so well, to consider this dimension the next time you're asked to participate in a forum on women's statelessness or women's issues. Thank you very much.